If you're tired of bad news, if you need some positivity, if you want to support small businesses, then welcome to Happy, Grateful, Blessed with Kaysville's own mayor, Tammy Tran. Here, you'll get to see the best of humanity from within Utah's hidden gem, Kaysville City. Every month, you'll discover small businesses, hear unique and incredible stories, and understand the difference you make in this wonderful city. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to this podcast so that you'll never miss a chance to find a new business to support and learn what makes a city like this one work as well as it does. So join us as we explore Happy, Grateful, Blessed with Tammy Tran.
Hi, everybody. This is Tammy Tran. I'm so excited today because I'm here with Governor Cox. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. I've been looking forward to this. It's great to be back in Kaysville. We love this place. It holds a special place in our hearts.
You are such an awesome guy to come all the way to our little city. So thanks for being here. We're also here with Jason Christensen, who's our Kaysville City Manager. So Jason, thank you for being here as well.
Absolutely.
Governor, we are excited to be able to talk to you. As far as Kaysville goes, we have a specific question we'd like to start with.
Great, yeah.
Because you're such an advocate for cities and towns.
Yeah.
So I'll turn the time over to Jason for just a minute and then we'll...
Perfect.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Yeah, Governor, regarding Senate Bill 161, the energy amendments, that's one of the bills that was important to Kaysville. And as you know, the Senate and the legislature passed that bill to try to keep the coal plant open. And one of the concerns, you've heard some of the concerns, and we appreciate that you're looking at maybe revisiting that bill with some of the legislators. And just curious, maybe some of your thoughts on maybe how that bill should be tweaked. There are some practical concerns that I think are still out there, maybe, and how do you keep a coal plant going in the face of maybe the EPA saying you got to shut that down by, 2025? And I think one of the concerns of the cities is, the liabilities potentially of, do we get caught in sort of some kind of legislation or lawsuits with the EPA? Any thoughts on how you might kind of look at that with the legislatures?
Sure. Yeah. So this is one that's been very complicated. I know it's we've talked about it for years. And to those cities, I was the mayor of a small town of Fairview, and we were part of UAMPS, part of this coalition where we owned our own power system in Fairview, and so we were always looking at these issues. And we have kind of these two things that are pulling at us. Of course, we have the federal government and some of the rules that have been passed by the EPA, as you mentioned, and then we know this huge growing demand for power. I can tell you, I actually just met with Rocky Mountain Power, and in their queue right now, this is going to blow your minds. In their queue right now, these are projects that are already planned. There is more demand, more than double, not just the demand in Utah. So if you took all of what Utah is using today, what they have in their queue for future build out that people have already requested is more than double the states of Utah, Wyoming, Idaho, Oregon, and Washington combined.
Really?
That's just for Utah. So we do have this concern that we're turning off existing power facilities, power generation facilities, at a time when our nation is exploding with demand for more power. So how do we get that right? Now, I harbored some of the same concerns that you did, that there could be some unintended consequences of this bill,
right?
That could come back to bite us. One of the things we're looking at is we've made decisions over time with our air sheds and the EPA rules that assumed that facility was no longer going to be open, right? So if that facility does remain open, does that then endanger some of the other things that we're doing with air permits and other businesses in the state? So that's why I've asked the legislature to look at this. We've agreed to come back in a special session so that we can tweak some of those practical things, make sure that you don't end up in the crossfire of this when it's all said and done, and that we do it the right way. It's still a needle we're trying to thread. I'm hoping we can get there, and we're working hard at it.
Thank you, Governor. We appreciate what you're doing, and Really, I don't think our fight is with coal at all. I personally think we've got this huge growing demand. We've got electric vehicles coming on the scene, and finding ways to make sure we have reliable energy is hugely important. But again, thank you for looking at some of those little nuances and issues that we're kind of working out as well. So with the cities,
you're very welcome, and thanks for your help on this and many other issues that we're working on.
Of course,
Governor Cox, I really appreciate the fact that you are an example of the things that you speak about. So in your 2020 campaign, we loved it. We loved the ads that you put out with your opponent and talked about civility and communication and being, committed to the end, whatever the election and, however it ended up. And then with your Disagree Better campaign, I think this is such a perfect example that we just discussed that really demonstrates your commitment to this. It's not only about talking about how do we disagree on this issue. There are some big disagreements between cities and IPA and state. And so bringing them back together and your willingness to have continued conversations is so exceptional. We truly appreciate it. I mean, as Jason said, as Power Cities, we appreciate it. Some of us sent you letters. You listen to us and we appreciate that. So thanks. So let's talk about Disagree Better.
Thank you. I'm excited. This is something that, again, I remember being on a city council and I remember we were making some zoning changes. And some residents showed up and they were very angry. They were upset. And my kind of nature, I'm a fighter first. That's kind of who I am. I'm a litigator. I went to law school. I was really good at it. I started to realize in those days that it wasn't the best way to lead. And I would want to get in arguments and kind of shout back and put people in their place. And I realized that never changed any hearts or minds. And also, we weren't getting things accomplished by those actions. So I started to try to learn, push back on my own kind of nature and spend more time listening and getting to know other people and trying to understand where they're coming from. Now, when I became the chair of the National Governors Association, so it's a bipartisan organization, 50 governors, Republicans and Democrats working closely together. We always have a chair from one party and a vice chair from the other. So right now I'm the chair and Governor Polis of Colorado, a Democrat, is my vice chair. But the Republican governors choose their person. So it was my Republican governors that asked me to do this. And this trying to find common ground where we can work on things together. Every chair gets to do an initiative. And I started looking at things like the rising cost of healthcare. I actually looked at energy policy. That was something I wanted to do. Critical minerals, just the biggest problems impacting our country. And realize that we can't solve any of these if we all hate each other. Sadly, we're seeing Congress right now who can't get anything done. They're just constantly fighting. You have people in Congress who are more interested in performing and outrage than they are at actually getting stuff done. So we just talked about, could we do something different? And this idea of Disagree Better came. And I'm happy to answer questions about it. But one thing that I think is important is what it's not. It is not just another civility initiative. It's not just about being nice, although we certainly need more of that. It really is about, we chose the word disagree first because it is about disagreement. It's about passionate disagreement. It's about staying true to what we believe in, but doing it in a way that doesn't bring hate and contempt for the other person. We attack ideas, not people. We actually try to have debates, respectful debates, and we're curious. We try to learn from other people, learn where they're coming from, but again, staying true to who we are. And what I found in my time serving in local government, in county government as county commissioner, in the legislature as lieutenant governor, now as governor, that when I kind of put aside my nature, when I'm curious, when I sit down and actually have a conversation with people, what I generally find is we're not as far apart as we think we are. Sometimes we can actually find common solutions, but even when we can't, the other side that loses the battle, I've signed some controversial bills. They're more understanding and grateful that they had an opportunity to actually be heard and that we had thoughtful discussion. And I think that's missing from our national discourse. Sadly, I think it's missing sometimes around the dinner table, in our congregations, in our towns, and we could all do better.
It's true. I completely agree with that, don't you, Jason?
Absolutely. Yeah. Big fan of that. And are you partnering with Arthur Brooks in any way? Because I read so much of him, and I haven't read recently, but it seems like you guys are so much on sync with what your message is.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we looked at this, we didn't just want this to be kind of a feel-good thing that we made up. We wanted actual science behind it. We wanted actual research and data. And Arthur Brooks is a dear friend, somebody I've been working with since I was lieutenant governor for many years. He is an impact scholar at the University of Utah, so he comes out here often. He loves Utah. He spoke at BYU many times about how different Utah is, and he sees Utah really as the example for what the United States used to be and what we can be again. Again, a willingness to care about our neighbors, and the government isn't designed to solve all of our problems, but we can do this. So he has a book. A couple books. The first one that I loved is called The Conservative Heart, written from a Republican conservative standpoint about how we can do better about this. But the one that really captured my attention is Love Your Enemies.
And that is fantastic.
A book I recommend to everybody. When you hear me talk about contempt, those are Arthur Brooks' words kind of coming out. But we've been working with researchers. There's a polarization lab at Stanford University that we've been working with. We've been working with groups at Dartmouth and Harvard and Duke on their research. Groups like More in Common and Braver Angels that are doing so much of this work. Lots of different authors that people would know. Yuval Levin is somebody I love. There's a book called A Time to Build that I recommend to everyone as well. It's about how our institutions are kind of falling apart in this country and how we need to rebuild them, including our faith-based institutions, our family institutions, but government institutions, volunteer organizations. We need more of that. So it's been incredibly well received. The best and brightest in the country have really latched onto this. I get calls from people all of the time. Frank Luntz, who many of you know, the kind of the famous pollster, mm-hmm. called me and said, "This is the most important work happening in the country today. I want to help." Jamie Dimon, who is in the business world, the banking world, is one of the most important people, called me and said, "This is
really
great." General Mattis, Mad Dog Mattis, mm-hmm. called and said, "We need this in the military." So it's great to see so many people responding to this call.
It's awesome that you're leading out on this. You know, Utah's known for the Utah way. We're known as kind and charitable people, but we're also known as people with passions. You know, we passionately believe what we believe here. And so I think it's great that it comes from Utah and that you're leading out as our governor with this initiative. In terms of making it not personal, city council, super personal. Mayor, super personal. How do you have any advice for us at the local level when someone is really mad and they're clearly not going to ever see our perspective in dealing with those types of situations?
Yeah. So look, I get it. It is hard. And I don't always get it right. You'll see times where I say something in the media or, you know, when I'm confronted by somebody where I mess up. It's something I have to constantly work on. I do have some kind of things that I've learned over the course of the past year and the past few years that make a difference that I share with people all of the time. So one is to be curious, to always be curious and ask questions. My favorite one, I call it the magical request because it works almost every time. And I simply ask, tell me more about why you feel that way. So when someone comes in and they're upset and they want to take me on, I just say, tell me more about why you feel that way. This allows lots of things to happen. One, it shows I'm interested in the other person, right? So they're coming in, they're angry, they're defensive. Now they see I'm genuinely interested in them. Two, it gives me a chance to cool down because, and sometimes I have to ask the question multiple times. Okay, so tell me more. Let's get deeper here. And it allows me to kind of catch my breath and be calm. It forces the other person to start thinking rationally and to actually explain. And sometimes they they haven't thought about it. They just heard it on cable news or on social media, and it's a talking point, but they haven't really thought through. So now they have to articulate why they believe this thing. Fourth, once they do that, and again, even if you have to ask a couple times, you'll generally get to the core, and that's where our shared humanity comes in. So at the core, it may be, well, I love my family, I love my community, that's why I'm so passionate about this thing. And then you get to build that common bond, because you get to say, oh, I care about my family and I care about my my community too. And then they're much more likely to give you an opportunity to tell them why you believe, because you've listened to them now. They're going to extend the same courtesy to you. And I found that diffused city council meetings, it's diffused, you know, when I'm meeting with an angry delegate or something, I'm headed to the state convention, which is going to be wild.
You know
how that goes. There are going to be people that really hate me, legitimately hate me, and have heard things that aren't true, believe things that aren't true. I've heard conspiracies that I'm trying to build these 15-minute cities, whatever they are, to keep people people trapped, to make it like a prison for
yes.
people. I've heard that that China's been paying me money, which is crazy. I mean, it'd be great, but I drained my bank account to get two kids married last year. I'm just kidding. It would not be great. That was a joke. I've been told that I'm getting paid to allow illegal immigrants to come here. All of these just made up things that have no basis in truth. But they're firmly held beliefs by people. And so I can just, you know, I can attack and call them names and you know, make fun of them, but that doesn't help. That doesn't make anything better. And so again, being patient, giving people an opportunity to be heard, trying to understand that everybody's going through something, right? I mean, I don't know what's happening in that person's life that has led them to believe these conspiracy theories or to be so angry. And if I try to use my you know, my faith and the things that I've been taught in my religion to love our enemies, you know, to do good to them that hate us and despitefully use us, and that's a heavy call.
It is,
right? It's maybe the hardest thing, and at least in, I think it's the hardest thing in my religion that I'm asked to do, is to not just to love my enemies, but to actually do good to people who hate me and despitefully use me. It's crushing at times, but the good news is I've seen it happen. It can actually bring us together. And the last thing I will just say on this from a recommendation is we're in politics, but we need to get politics out of other parts of our lives. When I was growing up, in my congregation, our neighbors, I did not know who was a Republican and who was a Democrat. I had no idea, because we had these shared identities that came first to us. And so, you know, I'm a father, I'm a Utah Jazz fan, I'm a Utahn. Those things were way up there. Kind of politics came in at, you know, 10th or 15th, somewhere down the line. Today, we've elevated politics and become like a religion to too many people. I think we need to get it out of the workplace. I think we need to get it out of our congregations. There's a place for it, and everybody should get involved. But if that's guiding, if that's the top thing for all of us, we're going to be miserable. Serving others, giving back, building our community, that's helps us to overcome these things.
That's so true. That's really good advice. I appreciate that. As a local mayor. So there was a rumor going around town that I wanted something to happen in Kaysville that I did not want to have happen in Kaysville. And people were really upset about it. And it's hard when someone spreads a rumor or says something that's untruthful to help people know the truth, I guess, to convince them otherwise. And so at all levels of government, you've had the opportunity to serve. And that's one thing that I just love about you, one of the many things that I love about you, and why, of course, I'm going to be supporting you and voting for you again. But because you've had that experience, does it get easier on your way up? I mean,
yeah,
not worry about it.
No, it's interesting to think about that. I would love to say yes. I would love to say, people say to me all the time, oh, you're used to it, you have thick skin. I don't believe thick skin is a thing. I don't believe anybody has it. I think people fake it well. I think I've gotten good at faking it well. And so to some, it will appear like I have thick skin. when I'm at the convention and people are booing me, you know, I'll have a smile on and I'll say the right things, I hope. And but it doesn't. I don't know that it's gotten easier. I don't think that's the case. And what I would also say is something has changed. And we've always had people that are mad at us in tech. That's part of it. You can't please everyone all the time, and I will be the first to admit that. But over the past 10 years, and I've talked to people who were governors before and kind of after 2016, and especially COVID, something shifted. This idea that it's okay to hate other people, to cancel, shout down, tear down. I say this all the time. We have too many arsonists and not enough architects, people who build. It's so easy to tear other people down. And I think social media and kind of the extreme online community has kind of empowered that and emboldened that. You can say things online that you would never say to someone face to face, right? So I do think that we're seeing that, and that is different, and it is hard. Now, I will also say that we're very lucky in Utah, that I hear from people all the time, Utah is still different and still unique, but we have to be intentional about that. People always say, well, it's in your DNA, and maybe that's true. It's certainly part of our culture and part of our history, but that doesn't mean it will always be there. And I am seeing it slip a little bit. I am seeing that kind of contempt grow. It's still the minority for sure, and these tools allow the extremists to get louder. But it is growing, and so I do think we have to push back and just around the dinner table in our communities, in our state, and in our country, that we can show there's a better way. And there's so many great examples like you, Mayor, and others that are doing that. And I love our local elected officials, because I think that's the hardest, honestly. I always say, people ask me, well, what's the hardest part of being in politics? I would say being on the city council and being a mayor.
It's true.
It is true, because you are so much closer to everyone. You go to the grocery store, you go to the mailbox,
right,
you go to
exactly.
church, and you're in it. And so I always just give us as many kind words and try to build up our local officials, because we need you.
Well, and we need you. Oh, it's so grateful for the work that you're doing, and the fact that, you know, you drive all the way to Kaysville. That's very impressive.
Well, Kaysville
is
not
very,
very far. Now, you remember, I drove back and forth to Fairview every day for 7.5 years as Lieutenant Governor, 200 miles round trip every day. So coming to Kaysville is nothing. This is awesome. And I used to live here, which is the best part. We loved living in Kaysville. We loved our time here.
It's true.
It's such a special place.
Well, you haven't forgotten your roots. And I think that's another thing that's so impressive about you. You know, you came from a small community. And actually, my husband bought a snowblower from your uncle in Fairview, a snowblower connect, I don't know, some snowblower thing.
Yeah.
And he was saying, oh yeah, you know, Spencer, he's my nephew. And it was so neat just to have the connection.
Well, it's a small town. We're all 1,200 people. We're all kind of related. You know,
it's awesome.
It's a great place. I loved growing up there. My uncle's the Polaris dealer there.
He sells tractors, and
all kinds of things. So we have lots of connections.
He was fantastic, and just singing your praises, as do I. I really appreciate everything that you do. Appreciate the hits that you take. I was at the county convention. You handled it like a pro. You're such a professional, and you do say the right things. I mean, that would be a hard thing. And I just really admire the fact that you're willing to continue doing it. So
thank you. Well, I love that we have passionate people here in Utah that care deeply about their communities. And again, even those that scream and try to shout me down as I'm trying to speak, I wish they would be a little more respectful.
I do
And there are other ways to do this, but I'm grateful that they care so much about their community, that they would sacrifice a Saturday, right, to represent their neighbors and show up. And we lead the nation in service every year, and we lead the nation in volunteering every year, and charitable giving every year. And those things matter. Those things make us better. Government can't solve all of our problems. But we need to be bigger people and better neighbors if we want smaller government.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for your time, Jason. I didn't want to close without you having an opportunity.
Oh, thanks, Governor. And that message just resonates so powerfully, building or disagreeing better from the dinner table on up to the highest levels of government. And I'm excited about that. Thanks for that work. And my only question for you is, what's the name of the new hockey team going to be?
good question. I was going to ask that.
That is the most controversial topic in yes. Utah right now. And the cool thing is I've talked to Ryan Smith and Ashley Smith, the owners of the new hockey team and the Jazz, that we, the people, are going to get to decide, which is cool. So they will actually have a bracket. I think he's going to pick, I don't know if it'll be four names or eight names or something like that, that they're okay with, that they'll be happy with. And then my understanding is that they're going to let the people of Utah decide and vote on that, which is really cool.
That's
really
exciting.
Remarkable.
Yeah.
And I had a chance to be there when the team came out. Unbelievable and really kind of unexpected. Even the NHL and even Ryan and Ashley were shocked at how huge it was.
It was incredible, wasn't it?
Unbelievable.
20,000 plus people.
Yeah. People couldn't get in.
So exciting.
I mean, stuck outside, and this wasn't even a game, and they haven't played. And to hear the players and the coaches just see Utah just. They're so excited. So good things are happening in Utah.
You're doing a great job. It's cool.
Community builder, just identify as a hockey fan before a Republican or Democrat.
For
absolutely,
sure.
Yes.
For sure.
Hockey first, whatever it is first. And we need these wins to bring us together. And I just have to, Utah right now, we are all of the accolades. Number one state of the nation, best place for business, best place to start a business, happiest people in the United States. They just keep coming. And there are more wins around the corner. I do think we're going to get Major League Baseball over the next couple years. It's going to take a little longer, but
awesome.
that looks really, really positive right now. And just these great wins will come. It doesn't mean we don't have our challenges. And that's why I'm grateful for mayors, city council members, city, those who work in the city, who give back, the city planners, everybody who's doing this work, because we are growing and we do want our kids and grandkids to live here. So we're committed to helping reduce the price of housing and solve homelessness and do all of those things that government is supposed to be doing.
Well, we're lucky to live in Utah and lucky to have you at our helm. So thank you.
Thanks for having me. You guys are the best. Congratulations and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To all my podcast listeners, thank you for listening. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Please leave comments and please leave suggestions for future guests. And most importantly, subscribe. Thank you.